This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Listen, here's what's wrong with your hypothesis, your theorem, your supposition, your postulate.
Honest. If that front ain't in gangsta, your back end won't be able to show its full potential.
Understanding.
You're going to suck. You're going to suck for the next couple of years.
Passionate.
I'm all over social media. I live it.
This is the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Radio.com app.
Hashtag facts.
It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Now, here's Kevin.
Tomorrow, Dallas and Washington on Thanksgiving Day for first place. Not sure much more needs to be said. Good morning, everybody. Oh, both teams are 3-7 and stink. So there is that. I'm here. Anthony is behind the glass. It's the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, a Wednesday before a showdown rivalry game. A big travel day, typically. A big party night tonight. God, I remember those Wednesday nights before Thanksgiving back in the day. Not anymore. A good night's sleep for me tonight. A big meal tomorrow and a ton of football, including the game of the year for the Cowboys and the Skins. You know, the winner takes over first place, at least momentarily, in this miserable division. And would also be the winner of two games in a row. Something that hasn't happened much at all in the NFC East this year. The Giants are currently on a two-game win streak. They can make it three games in a row. And one of these two teams will potentially... Washington won't this week. It would be a second straight win. The Giants have a chance to make it three wins in a row this weekend. Look, the winner becomes one of the favorites to win the division. The loser certainly isn't mathematically eliminated. But for Washington, you know, the team we care about, with Pittsburgh, San Francisco, and Seattle on deck, all, you know, Pittsburgh and San Francisco in particular, two road games, it certainly wouldn't be very easy to stay in it. Tomorrow is actually, you know, in the larger scheme of things, an important game, probably the biggest game of the year for both teams. It's nice to be able to say that they have a game of import. A game that matters. You know, some of you are rolling your eyes because it's a losing record matchup in a loser of a division. But, you know, losing record division winners have won playoff games more than once. Ron Rivera's Panthers did it in 2014 when they were 7-8-1. They at one point were 3-8-1. And they finished off the season winning four in a row, won the division at 7-8-1, beat Arizona at home in a playoff game, and then nearly beat Seattle the following week to get to the NFC Championship game. So once you're in the tournament, as they say, anything can happen. And I do think it would be a big thing to be a part of if somehow Washington were able to do it. The following year, by the way, in Carolina, the Panthers went 15-1 and went to the Super Bowl. He's been here before. He's talked about it enough, Ron Rivera has. And to his credit, and I mean this in all sincerity, his teams believed that there were games like this ahead of them, that they could play well enough to make some of these games late in the year mean something. Now, they needed other teams in the division to keep losing for tomorrow to matter. But no matter how they got here, tomorrow is a game with stakes, and even if you don't consider it to be important, it's at least interesting. Mike Jones, 7:30 this morning. Mickey Spagnola, my favorite, who covers the Cowboys for the DallasCowboys.com. He will join us at 8. Nikki Javvala from the Washington Post, she covers the team, will join us at 8:20. And we're expecting Kendall Fuller to call in at 8:40 this morning. So a menu of, you know, near excellence this morning on the program. We'll get to Washington beats Dallas if my keys to the game. That'll come up a little bit later on this hour. I've got an early smell test pick or two for tomorrow. And I've got a poll out right now, and I want you to start thinking about this because I am interested in gauging reaction to this game. And I put the Twitter poll out just moments ago, and it's a simple question. Describe how you're feeling right now about tomorrow's game. You know, a Thanksgiving Day showdown against your arch rival for first place in the division. Now, I gave out three choices. You can give out whatever you want. But the poll allows four. I gave out three. You think it's a huge game, exclamation point, and you are pumped up for it. You're curious just to see. I mean, it's two teams. The Cowboys are talented. Washington's got some young pieces. They have played better of late, both teams have. In Dallas's case, maybe getting a little bit healthier. Certainly they'll never get back to where they were at quarterback this year because Dak Prescott's not coming back. But there is some curiosity about both teams, some of you may have. And then the third option was bad teams, not interested in the game. You can come up with whatever answer you choose. And in about 20 minutes, we'll see if we can take some calls on this. Describe again how you feel, how you're feeling about tomorrow's Washington-Dallas Thanksgiving Day showdown for first place. I'll go through some history. You know, I remember saying earlier this year, Anthony, that it's the kind of feeling I have about the franchise, the passion's been lost, that, you know, I feel like in many years here recently, especially as we've gotten late in the year, it's been a lot of nostalgia talk, and that's gotten old. It's gotten old for me, which certainly is an indication that it's probably gotten old for many of you. With that said, when it's Washington and Dallas, and there wasn't much juice for the matchup a few weeks ago in D.C., keep in mind, there will be fans. There were 31,000 fans the last time the Cowboys were at home against the Steelers 2 weeks ago Sunday. 31,000. They're allowing, I think, 25% capacity, and they had the largest COVID-19 crowd in the country of Texas for that game, because that's essentially what Texas is. It's its own deal altogether. But you can start, if you'd like, at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980, lining it up on the phone lines. I'm curious as to what you think of this game. I want you to describe, you know, how you feel. It's Thanksgiving Day. It's going to be, for most of us, a smaller gathering event. Not for everybody. But for most play by the rules. Not everybody plays by the rules. Most people play by the rules. So it will be a smaller gathering event. For us, we typically, in the past, have hosted anywhere from 25 to as many as 40 people. We've been the house. We've been the family unit that has hosted Thanksgiving for many, many, many years now. But obviously, it's not going to happen in a big way. It's going to be our immediate group and then one or two others. And that's going to be it. My day will be about, you know, meal, football, some conversation. But the people that I'd be having a conversation with on Thanksgiving Day are essentially the same people I've been having conversations with since March. We've solved all the world's problems over the last 8 months. We've discussed everything political, everything sports related. I have three boys. They've been home. They haven't been home. But when they've been home, especially early on in the pandemic, we played games. We watched shows. We had dinner together lots of nights. And, you know, when it got too heated on politics, we turned to religion. And that's where we would end it for the night. But it is going to be, I think, a special Thanksgiving tomorrow, in all seriousness. It has been a weird 2020. And, you know, for many, a very sad and perhaps even tragic 2020. So tomorrow, you know, there's a lot to be thankful for, obviously, but it's going to be one of the weirdest, oddest, strangest Thanksgiving days of our lives. That is for sure. Now, we have our football team that will play a game, and certainly a few weeks ago, it was more than even money that that game wouldn't mean much. But it does now. And put the records aside, as they say. The records don't matter in a rivalry game. And they don't matter in this game either, because as bad as they are, they're in a bad division, and the game actually will elevate the winner to first place again momentarily. By the way, I wanted to mention before we get to a couple of what do you gots that I was looking for the odds on the NFC East division race yesterday, and they hadn't been posted for whatever reason. They hadn't been posted, and I wanted to, and my guess was that they were really very close. You know, after Philly lost on Sunday, Dallas and Washington won, the Giants on a two-game winning streak. Really, when you think about it, it's not going to be a surprise if any one of the four teams, 10 games into the season, win the division. You can rarely say that about a division in the NFL. 10 weeks in, any one of the four teams can win it. Now, there are years in which three teams could win it 10 games into the season, and certainly two teams can win it 10 games into the season. It is very rare when you can say all four teams have a chance to win the division. The odds, for whatever reason, weren't out, and they came out late last night, and here they are. Currently, the favorite to win the NFC East, at least according to the two sites where I found futures odds, Philadelphia remains a very slight favorite to win the division. And, you know, the guess here is because they have the best record right now at 3-6-1. They are a half game ahead of the Giants, Cowboys, and Washington in the division. But they have the most brutal schedule left. But they are plus 175. All right, so that's 1.75-1 odds. For those that always ask me to explain this stuff, basically it means if you wager $100 on Philadelphia to win the division and they win the division, you win $175. They're the favorite right now at plus 175. The Cowboys, who have the easiest remaining schedule, are plus 185. So almost equal odds with the Eagles right now to win the division. I will tell you that the Cowboys had the longest odds last week, but then the win at Minnesota, and really the impressive way in which they did it, elevated them quickly into almost a co-favorite with Philadelphia. They're just slightly behind Philadelphia at plus 185. The third pick to win it is Washington at plus 275. So not as close to Philly and Dallas, but still right there. I mean, you are, you know, wagering 100 to win 275, so you're a little bit less than 3-1 on Washington. And the Giants are at plus 290, also a little bit less than 3-1, the fourth pick. It's funny, on the show yesterday, I picked the Giants to win the division. And looking at the schedules, it's one thing to look at the schedules, and I think sometimes they're hard to predict, and I talk about that all the time, although there are only six games left. So you'd have to have a lot of bad things happen to the teams that are on the schedule that look good for those teams to become bad teams by the time you play them. But to me, of the four teams and watching them, the eye test, the Giants are the best team. I feel that way in watching the four teams, that the Giants are the best team. You can't possibly say that Washington is the best team over the Giants, because the Giants beat them twice, and that's recently, fairly recently. Both of those games, right, were, and one of them was in October, one of them was in November, early November. So you can't say Washington's better than the Giants. I guess you could say, if you wanted to, the Cowboys are better than the Giants. But the Giants just beat the Eagles 2 weeks ago. Beat them pretty, you know, handily. They beat them by 10. And they should have beaten them I think it was 10 days earlier in Philly. They blew a 10-point fourth quarter lead. I think the Giants are going to win the division. I think they're the best team. So for me, the opportunity to bet the Giants as the fourth pick in the division at plus 290 is a good bet. But anyway, I told you I would share some of those odds when I found them. They are very close. I mean, you rarely see at this time of year four teams legitimately with a decent chance to win the division, and Vegas agrees. The odds makers agree with that. You know, the other division, like if you take, I'm trying to think, the NFC West obviously is a very competitive division right now. The 49ers really don't have a shot, but you've got three teams that do. And the Rams, actually the Seahawks and the Rams are actually co-favorites at even money. And then the Cardinals are at 4-1. So that's really the only other division right now that you look at where you say three teams have a chance to win the division, whereas in the NFC East, you've got four teams with the capability of winning the division. Very rare to see that happen. I guess you could, if you wanted to take a leap of faith, say that the AFC East has a chance. You know, if you still consider the Patriots to be alive, I can tell you Vegas doesn't give the Patriots much chance. They're 20-1, while the Bills are a heavy favorite, and the Dolphins are sort of a borderline medium long shot to win the division. Anyway, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I do want your feeling about the game tomorrow. How would you describe your feeling? You know, somebody asked you in your house, big game tomorrow. Yeah, I don't know. This is how I would describe it. All right, is it a huge game? Are you pumped up? Is it just sort of a curiosity thing? Or do you just consider this to be a meh? You know, to bad teams, you're not that interested. In any other way you want to describe it at 301-230-0980. Let's get to a couple of what do you gots.
All right, all right, all right.
What do you got?
So Ron Rivera has coached in one Thanksgiving Day game, and that was in Dallas when he was the head coach of the Carolina Panthers back in 2015. That was the year that the Panthers went 15-1 and made it to the Super Bowl. And they went to Dallas on Thursday, November 26th, 2015, and they destroyed the Cowboys that day. 33-14 behind Cam Newton's performance. The Cowboys were not a good team, if you recall, that year. They had lost Romo to injury, and then Romo came back, and people were thinking, yeah, maybe Romo will lead him back. They had Matt Cassel and Brandon Whedon quarterbacking, and they lost a bunch of games. And then they came back, and they beat the Dolphins, who weren't very good. And then, you know, people were like, ah, maybe Dallas can still make a run, and they got shellacked by Carolina. So Ron Rivera's coached in Dallas on Thanksgiving Day once before, and it was a non-contest in that game. So you have that. There were a couple of other things that I wanted to get to in the What Do You Got. John Wall yesterday was doing what John Wall does. Like, he is active in the community, and it's something that, you know, if you're, you know, sort of cynical about it and you think it's self-serving, how the hell do you know? I take what John Wall's done in the community at total face value and what it is, and that is he's active and he's immersed in the community, and he's been very generous with his time and his money, by the way, in this community. Well, he was in Southeast, I think, yesterday, handing out Thanksgiving meals at a Thanksgiving assist event. And Scott Abraham from Channel 7 was there, as were other media members, I believe. And Scott did a really good job of saying, you know, this is a nice event and all, but the real story with John Wall is, did you ask for a trade? Do you want to be traded? Listen to Scott Abraham ask Wall these questions.
I have to ask you, obviously you've been in the news a lot, and there's a lot of confusion going on right now, especially with this Wizards fan base wondering what is going on. Can you set the record straight? Did you request the trade to leave Washington?
No comment. I didn't. No comment.
Do you understand the confusion, though, why people are just, they don't know what to believe? And what do you want to say to the Wizards fans?
All I can say is this, man. I work my tail off all summer to prepare myself for the season, and that's all I'm focused on.
John, I have to ask you, these no comments are just, that's not you. We're not used to you saying kind of no comments. So I think there's a confusion as how did we get to this point? Why all of a sudden these no comments when we discuss certain situations?
No comment.
By the way, good job by Scott Abraham. I mean, you have to ask those questions. You have to push John Wall, even at a charity event, even at an event in which he is doing a lot of good things. This is a topic, you know, I saw people on Twitter criticizing the constant questioning of Scott Abraham. Look, if the Wizards want to be important in this town, which they're not, of the four professional teams right now, the Wizards are dead last, and it's really not even close. Now, my contention has always been that if the Wizards were ever a legitimate contender, it would be the number two in this city because of how much people love basketball in this town. Basketball is a big deal. For those of you not from here, maybe in town visiting relatives, D.C. at its core is a basketball town. But it's more of a high school and a college basketball town, not a professional basketball town. It's got the best high school basketball in the country. Anthony, who is with me today, he's an assistant coach at his alma mater, Georgetown Prep. I've coached for years. More people in this town are involved in basketball, playing it, coaching it, reffing it, participating it in somehow than any other sport, and it's always been this way, been that way. We have top to bottom the best high school basketball conference in America. The WCAC is the best top to bottom high school basketball conference in the country. DeMatha, St. John's, Gonzaga, etc. All right, we've had that for years. We have two powerful college basketball programs. National championship winning programs in Maryland and Georgetown, and a lot of other college programs like George Mason, who went to a Final Four in 2006, GW, who's been to the tournament many times, AU, etc. The list goes on and on. But pro basketball doesn't mean much. I know the Wizards PR people, and Scott Hall does a great job as their PR director. So I know that they appreciate, I think, you know, that being a question, this being in the news. Hopefully you all understand these are questions that have to be asked no matter the event. You know, John's not at a funeral. Good job by Scott Abraham at Channel 7. And you didn't get much from John, but you had to keep peppering him to get something. Because I do think, and I mentioned this on the show yesterday, I do think that there's truth to the story that the Wizards and the Rockets were talking about Westbrook for Wall. We had Tommy Shepard on the show last week. There was pretty much a non-denial denial when I asked him about it. He said the other day that John hasn't requested a trade and that they have no interest in trading John. But I think that there's a lot where there's a lot of smoke, there's fire. I don't think it's a great situation right now. I mentioned yesterday, I think John's flashing of gang signs at a party in Brooklyn over the summer, which he profusely apologized for, even though many of you think that kind of a thing is innocent. Many of you think that kind of a thing is benign, and many of you think that, you know, okay, boomer, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. It's not a big deal. It doesn't matter if you think it's a big deal. It matters if corporate sponsors, if big ticket purchasers, if they think it's a big deal. The business of the NBA is not healthy in a lot of cities. It's not, especially after this pandemic. And owners like Ted Leonsis, you wouldn't believe how much effort it goes into for an NBA franchise to pencil out even the smallest of profit. And so these kinds of things that derail revenue generation, ticket sales, big corporate ticket sales, corporate sponsorships, etc., anything that could risk that doesn't make them happy. And I mentioned yesterday, and I'm not going to beat it to death, but it's always nice when your top employees and your highest paid employees recognize that. And they are just as interested in helping you, all right, generate enough revenue to offset all of the expenses, the biggest of which are salaries in the NBA. Anyway, good job by Scott Abraham at Channel 7. I thought that was really well done, even though ultimately he didn't get a ton out of it. That's how you do it when you have somebody in the news right now when it comes to these trade rumors. And again, I'll say this because I've already spent too much time talking about a team that too few of you care about. But if they want to be big boy team in the marketplace, then these are the kinds of things and these are the kind of questions that have to be asked and then answered. I think John could have given a better answer. But anyway, we move on from that. I wanted to mention one other thing. The college football rankings came out yesterday or last night. Bama's 1, Notre Dame's 2, Clemson's 3, Ohio State's 4. Meantime, you've got all these games getting canceled. It's unbelievable this season that we're in the midst of. College basketball starts today. Maryland and Georgetown open up their seasons today. Maryland against Old Dominion. A game you can hear, right, Anthony? Right here on the flagship home for Maryland basketball, the Team 980. It's a 2 p.m. tip. Johnny Naki on the call from Xfinity Center. New Maryland team. You know, no Anthony Cowan anymore, no Jalen Stick-Smith. He's in the NBA. He went 10th overall to Phoenix, which I'm thrilled about. But a Maryland team that's actually probably being picked at the lowest level they've been picked in the Big Ten since they came into the Big Ten because they lost so much. But I promise you, it's going to be a better team than most think. With that said, that assumes a season gets played because already I think 25 teams have canceled their openers and have already canceled multiple games over the next week or two. But anyway, back to the college football rankings that came out. Bama number 1, Notre Dame 2, Clemson 3, Ohio State 4. Then it was A&M in Florida, and then Cincinnati came in at 7. Cincinnati held on for a 36-33 win over UCF. We talked about that. Northwestern was 8. And then Georgia with 2 losses without really any kind of offense and quarterback play to speak of is in at 9. And BYU, I don't know if anybody's watched BYU this year. BYU's got a quarterback that many of you have been talking about. Like, this is the guy. This is the guy we're going to have next year. All right, we're going to have Zach Wilson. He's going to be there when we're picking 6th or 7th in the first round. He's the franchise quarterback. He's been spectacular all year long. BYU is an impressive team. The problem, of course, is, well, who did they play? They had a game early in the season against Army that got postponed. They crushed Boise State, who was ranked at the time. They could have been potentially fill-in opponents for some of these Pac-12 teams that are losing games, and that hasn't happened. But BYU, the eye test in watching them, is better and certainly more deserving than where they came in on the college football ranking. And that ranking really was, where is it? I just had it up a second ago. Here's the latest college football rankings. BYU came in at 14. 14 at 9-0. Iowa State, Indiana, Oklahoma, Miami, and Georgia all in front of them. I thought that was way too low, especially Georgia with their 2 losses. We're going to end up with Bama, Notre Dame, Clemson, and Ohio State more likely than not. Florida's going to get a shot at Alabama in the SEC title game. Cincinnati's going to be the team, probably more than any other, that gets talked about the rest of the year. They have a game at Tulsa. Tulsa's ranked, but they should be able to beat Tulsa. UCF was really the stumbling block. I thought Memphis might be tougher for them, but they crushed Memphis. They have one of the better defenses in the country. And they've got a quarterback that's improved dramatically during the year. I didn't love him early, Ritter. But they're going to be the team even more so than BYU, I think, because I think really that league is a little bit underrated. I think the American Athletic has teams in it year in and year out that can play. But anyway, the college football rankings. Remember the first of the college football rankings show, big deal. It's a weird year in college sports for sure. The bowls, if you haven't been following them, they've been scaled back. I think we lost 4 or 5 bowl games along the way. And then there's this one last quick, what do you got? Did you know, and I didn't know this until I read this very early this morning, Minnesota canceled its game against Wisconsin this week because Minnesota has a bunch of COVID-19 cases in the program. It will end the longest-running uninterrupted college football series in history. Minnesota and Wisconsin have played for 113 consecutive years, from 1907 to 2019. Neither World War interrupted the series between Minnesota and Wisconsin. So many teams during World War II in particular, when you look through, like, especially 43, 44, and 45, so many teams interrupted their seasons and didn't play. We saw that in a lot of sports. But somehow Minnesota and Wisconsin kept playing for 113 consecutive years. It was the longest uninterrupted series in college football history. And the game is canceled. And in the Big Ten, per the Big Ten policy, and if you've been following this, you know, especially with Maryland, who didn't play its last two games against Ohio State and Michigan State because of COVID-19 issues, the Big Ten's policy is not rescheduling these games. You're going to have some teams play, you know, 8 games, 9 games, some play 4 or 5. Maryland's game right now against Indiana this weekend is on. They are apparently getting healthy, and hopefully Coach Loxley is getting healthy as well. All right, when we come back, let's open up phone lines for the question that I asked. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Describe how you're feeling about tomorrow's Dallas-Washington Thanksgiving Day showdown for first place. Give me just a quick description. Are you really into it? Are you viewing it as a big-time game? Is it something of more like a curiosity factor? You know, both teams have played better recently. Or do you just view it as two bad teams? You're really not that interested. Any other way you want to describe it, 301-230-0980. I'll give you my description of it when we return. Kevin Sheehan Show, it's on the Team 980, team980.com, and now on the radio.com app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Radio.com app.
They are anything but dead as they play here on Thanksgiving.
Well, they're still trying to win back-to-back games for the first time. First down and goal, a shot into the end zone. The pass is caught. Touchdown, Santana Moss. A 6-yard touchdown throw to Santana Moss, and I don't know how much better Robert Griffin III could be in this half with where he's placed these throws to his receiver.
That was the one time on Thanksgiving Day that Washington beat the Cowboys. Good morning, Kevin Sheehan Show, 301-230-0980. Describe how you're feeling about tomorrow's showdown on Thanksgiving against the Cowboys. That one was an all-timer. It's truly one of the memorable games between the two franchises in its long-storied history of memorable games. Certainly from Washington's standpoint, it was the RG3 beginning of the run. If you recall, they had won the week before, the Sunday before, against the Eagles after the bye week where they were 3-6, and Mike Shanahan was talking about, you know, looking towards next year, even though that was misconstrued a little bit. They had beaten the Eagles 31-6. The division wasn't very good that year. If you recall, they played the Cowboys going in there at 4-6, and Griffin had one of the great halves of football that we've ever seen. Ultimately threw for 304 yards and four touchdown passes. And that one that we just played was the one right before the half to Santana Moss, that back shoulder throw. In a situation where they had to score a touchdown on that player, they would have had to kick a field goal because they didn't have timeouts. Moss made the catch, and it was 28-3 at halftime, and it finished off a 28-point explosion in the second quarter. They went on to win that game 38-31. Throughout the morning, we will be rejoining our segments with plays from Thanksgiving Day matchups between the Cowboys and the Washington football team and the Skins. That one was an all-timer. You know, in the history of this franchise, obviously, that was the one that we all remember. That was the one that they won. They've lost the other eight, and now they'll play for a 10th time on Thanksgiving against each other. It's weird because there was a stretch there where Washington didn't play the Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day. They had the game in 2002, and then it was 10 years between Thanksgiving Day games between Washington and Dallas. 2002 was, you know, the spurrier year, the Danny Werfel game. It was a close game, but it was a meaningless game, really. Neither team, the Washington wasn't any good that year. I forget what the Cowboys were. And then it was 10 years before they played again. Now here, over the last 8 years, they're about to play for the fourth time since 2012 on Thanksgiving. They played in 2016, they played in 2018, and they're playing in 2020. And let's not forget, Washington also played a Thanksgiving Day game in 2017 against the Giants at home. Washington all time on Thanksgiving, 3-8. Only one of those three wins against the Cowboys. The other two came against the Lions in 1973 when they played in Detroit in the Detroit Thanksgiving Day game and won that game 20-0. And then they beat the Giants 20-10 in 2017. All right, 301-230-0980. My keys to the game: Washington beats Dallas if, coming up at 7 a.m. Mike Jones from USA Today will join us at 7:30. At 8, we'll get a Cowboys update, including the condition of their strength and conditioning coach, Marcus Paul, who fell ill yesterday morning, was rushed to the hospital. Apparently, the victim of a heart attack. But we will certainly get a sense from Mickey Spagnola, DallasCowboys.com, of whether or not Dallas is rejuvenated here. I sense that they are. They had a chance to beat the lone undefeated team in the league, Pittsburgh, and then they went to Minnesota and beat one of the hottest teams in the league on Sunday with their 31-28 win over the Vikings. Dallas has talent. They do, and they've got Dalton back, and Dalton's been a playoff quarterback during his career several times. I have a feeling the Cowboy Nation really believes their team's on the verge of making a run. 8:20, Nikki Javala from the Washington Post, and then Kendall Fuller is scheduled to call us at 8:40, so we'll finish up the show, hopefully, with one of the best corners on this team, certainly one of the best free agent acquisitions here in recent years, Kendall Fuller. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Describe how you're feeling about the game tomorrow. It's a first-place showdown. It's Thanksgiving Day. It's Washington and Dallas. You know, on almost any situation like this in previous years, we would be jacked up, fired up. How are you feeling about this one? You know, do you consider it to be a huge game? Is it a curiosity thing? Bad teams not interested? I don't consider it to be like a massive, huge game, you know, in the context of big games in the NFL this year. They are both 3-7. But I am up for the game. I am definitely looking forward to this game. I've mentioned this now for a couple of weeks running. I've been impressed with what Ron Rivera has done with this group over the last 5 weeks. And I know the opponents, we talk about it all the time, so it comes with the disclaimer in terms of who they've played. But they've played well. They've played well enough to be, legitimately, they've played well enough to be on a 5-game winning streak. The 3 games they've lost over their last 5 are by a total of 7 points. You know, who knows if, you know, they kick the extra point and go to overtime in the Meadowlands. You know, who knows in the Giant game if, you know, they were certainly had 2 opportunities down 3. Certainly the Lions game, you know, the 15-yard penalty by Chase Young at the end didn't help. Playing soft coverage, allowing Prater to get in field goal range didn't help. That game should have gone to overtime. They've been a competitive, non-embarrassing NFL outfit for the last 5 weeks. So I'm curious to see if they can continue that. I'm also a little bit glass more full than empty right now on the trajectory of this team. Not the franchise, okay, because there's a lot coming down the road here. Beth Wilkinson, etc. Ownership, etc. I don't know where all that's headed. But I think this team is playing hard. They're competing. They're fighting. They don't stink. It was a case I made 2 weeks ago after the Lions game. Some of you mocked me. And I'd like to see some of it start to pay off for them because I think this is a young group where it can carry over. I think beating the Cowboys tomorrow, sweeping the Cowboys this year, and taking control, at least in the moment, of first place in the division would be a really good experience to have. This is a pressure game. I want them to play games where there's pressure. You don't know about any of these players in these sports until they play real games. The good part about the NFL is they only play 16, so typically most of the 16 matter. Certainly, even with a bad team, the first 8 matter. Right now, you're in week 11, or you're in week 12, your 11th game, and I'm curious to see how they play. And I'm a little bit excited because I think I'm a little bit optimistic about how they're going to play. I think they're going to play well tomorrow. And I think they've got a chance to win. And if they do, I think they're going to start to change the long-term, or at least the 2021 thought on what they may be turning into. Let's start with Derek. Derek, describe how you're feeling about the game tomorrow.
Good morning, Kevin. Can you hear me?
I've got you, Derek. Loud and clear. Go ahead.
Okay. Good morning, Kevin. Again, Kevin, I'm 44 years old. I've been a Washington fan for my entire life. Cousins, uncles, aunts, everything. My entire family has been Washington fans all my life. I can never line up on Thanksgiving Day looking at this star and not get juiced up a little bit, no matter how bad the teams are. I'm excited for tomorrow. I'm a little bit nervous because Dallas looked rather good on Sunday. But I will always be excited to beat the star. And one more thing, Kevin, because of you, when you were doing the pregame at FedEx Field, you got me an opportunity to take a photo with my all-time Washington Risk and player, and that was Riggo. And I wanted to thank you for that. And one more thing to make you laugh, and it makes me laugh every time you do it. Your continuous slurping of Kirk Cousins just makes me laugh out loud. Kevin, he doesn't beat good teams. Very rarely does he. He just doesn't.
Right, I know.
But anyway, he beat
Green Bay 2 weeks ago. But it wasn't really him. It was Dalvin Cook. I don't want to get into that. You know, right now, I would much rather have in this town with this franchise, had we had an owner with any kind of vision and any kind of, you know, ability to size up talent, I would much rather have Kyle Shanahan and or Sean McVay coaching my team with Kirk Cousins at quarterback. We'd all be a lot better off, and for the last few years, we would have watched a much better team. That's my contention. It'll never change. You'll never be able to talk me out of it. I think they completely mishandled that thing. But, you know, that's on a long list of mishandlings. He's actually played pretty well over the last month and a half. They're not a bad team. And that's what concerns me a little bit about tomorrow, Derek, and thanks for the call, is that they just went on the road. And it's not really a road game because Minneapolis doesn't allow anybody. And they beat a team that had been playing well, very well in Minnesota. And they did it by really moving the football at will against a defense that isn't that good. It had been playing better, but it's not that good. Now, Minnesota put up 28, 21 in the second half, and they were hitting things. But there was a lot of pressure on Cousins. And when I get to the keys to the game at 7, one of the things I'm going to talk about is I really think that a key to this game is to protect Alex Smith. You know, I feel like they've done a great job recently. I think the offensive line has been a little bit unheralded here as of late. But it's going to be another one of those games where the ball's got to come out quickly, and they're going to have to run the football. I'll get to more of that at 7. Steve, Derek, Cowboy Chuck, Sabah, Joe, stay on hold. We'll take more of your calls after this break. The question is simple at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Just describe to me how you're feeling about tomorrow's game, because I think there's a lot of different thoughts about this game. It is a showdown for first place in the division on Thanksgiving Day against your arch rival. It's also a game, just understand, that you're going to be playing in front of a crowd, not a sold-out crowd, but Dallas had 31,000 fans in the stands for their last home game against Pittsburgh. This will be a new feel for the team. It'll be more of a road game feel for the first time this year. So there's a lot that will be different about tomorrow, but I want to know how you're feeling. Are you pumped up? You think it's a huge game? Is there just a curiosity factor? I'm sort of between curiosity, but also I'm a little bit optimistic about what they can do the rest of the year as a football team. They're not a good team, but they're not a terrible team either. And I think tomorrow they're going to be playing a team that's not terrible either. I actually think the Giants, Washington, and Dallas, their records are bad. They are. But right now, all three teams are capable of playing well, or at least against each other. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, the team980.com, and now on the radio.com app.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Radio.com
app. That's Aldrich Robinson, who is a first-year player from right here in our neighborhood, Southern Methodist University. And this guy can flat-out fly. I mean, last week he had an opportunity down the field, and it was about a 49-yard touchdown. Hasn't had a lot of opportunities, but when he gets out there, you can expect him to be running vertically down the field. And I guarantee you, whoever's covering him, if they don't have help, he's going to run right by him.
From Waxahachie, Texas, runs a 4.42 40. Where's number 11? Griffin keeps it. He's got him downfield. Robinson for the touchdown. No flags. And back in the Dallas area, after starting for SMU, Aikman called it. RG3 threw it. And the Redskins are on top.
You know, it's interesting in listening to those highlights from the 2012 game, the RG3 38-31 win over Dallas on Thanksgiving, is just to hear how many Washington fans there were in the stadium that day. The Cowboys were 5-5 in that game. Washington was 4-6, but it was the Griffin year. You know, there was a mania over Griffin that year. They had won the previous week. Nobody at that point really envisioned what would be the 7-game run into the postseason. It was really after that game when they got to 5-6 and Dallas is sitting there at 6-5 and you're like, well, maybe they'll have a chance to win this division. They can run the table. And then they played the Giants after an 11-day layoff on Monday Night Football, beat them. Then the infamous Ravens game where RG3 got hurt, and then the Cleveland game where Cousins took over, and then they beat the Eagles, and they finished that year, of course, with the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football in the season finale for the NFC East title, winning that game. I was looking through the box score of that 2012 Thanksgiving Day game. Tony Romo threw the ball 62 times in the game. Now, they were way behind. They were down 28-3 at halftime. And if you recall, they got back late in that game and cut it to 38-31 late in that game and had a chance. With an onside kick to potentially tie it. But Washington held on and won the game. And it was certainly among the incredibly iconic games of Robert Griffin's rookie year. You know, the New Orleans game, you know, pops out, you know, without a doubt. The long run against Minnesota as well. The bad games or the injury games against Baltimore and Seattle in the playoffs, obviously, the infamous Seattle playoff game. The throw to Santana Moss in the Meadowlands that gave him the lead in a game at one point in that year. But to me, the Thanksgiving Day game is the game. It's the memory because Washington hadn't beaten the Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day, and it was a spectacular performance that day. 301-230-0980. Let's try to knock out some calls real quickly. Steve in Houston, describe how you're feeling about this game tomorrow, because I think there are mixed feelings among the fans about this one. What do you think?
Actually, you know, I'm pumped up about the game, believe it or not, with our record. And for the remainder of the season, that's the only game that I care about. I want the win tomorrow, and then I push all my chips to the table for the season. So I just want that win tomorrow. Let's draft Zach Wilson. Look, here I go with my loser talk and positioning. Let's draft Zach Wilson for next year. Kevin, real quick, first, and good morning to you. I just got into it. And I wanted to add, who was our quarterback? I'm drawing a big blank here. It was weird that you said Tony Romo was the starter then. I thought he was in the booth back then, but he wasn't in the booth until after
that. Not the 2012 game.
Not the 2012. Okay. I couldn't remember what year Tony Romo got into the booth. But anyway, who was our starting quarterback when we beat Dallas this year? Was it Kyle Allen?
Or
yeah,
was
Kyle
it?
Kyle Allen.
It was Kyle Allen.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what.
That was only a couple weeks ago there, Steve.
That was only a couple weeks ago.
You can remember things that happened 30 years ago, but if it happened yesterday or a few weeks ago, you got trouble with it. That is a sign of age, my friend. Kyle Allen. Remember, they rushed for over 200 yards in their last game. Dalton got hurt, and then, you know, JMU kid came in, and it was a disaster. You there, Steve, or did I lose you?
We lost him.
We lost Steve? All right. Happy Thanksgiving, Steve. Rodney, go ahead.
Good morning, Kevin. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, Rodney.
As a diehard Redskins fan, you're always excited to play Dallas on Thanksgiving Day. But I am a little nervous because these are the type of games in years past where we sometimes just don't show up or we don't win. In the last big game that I can remember against Dallas, probably 2016, when, you know, if we could have just got a couple of defensive stops, we'd probably beat them or at least have a chance to win. You know, like you say, it's for first place. And I remember, thinking 2015, a similar game against the Giants at home, where both teams had bad records, but you were playing later in the season for first place. So, you know, that's what it's all about. So I hope we can get the W tomorrow. Happy Thanksgiving to you, Kevin. Thanks for taking my call again.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it. If you're on hold, we'll take a couple more on the other side. So stay there, and we'll take a few more calls. I promise Sabah will even get to you. The text of so far this conversation actually comes from a friend of mine who said, you know, you've known me forever. You know how typically I'm pumped up for these things. We're not even planning our meal around the game. We're eating at 5 o'clock. So there is a lot of that too, you know. Now, I don't really believe him. I think it's one of those things where he'll, you know, DVR it or pause it and he won't miss any of it. I think a lot of people talk a big game when it comes to, you know, I'm not watching it. They stink. Hashtag fire Dan Snyder. You know, I'm not paying attention to it. But it's Thanksgiving, and any football that's on TV on Thanksgiving, you usually pay attention to. And this one is actually your own team playing the arch rival for first place. So I think there are a lot of people that will talk a big game about, two bad teams, not interested until Dan Snyder sells the team, yada, yada, yada. But you'll be paying attention tomorrow. That's my guess. Stay on hold. A few more of these calls. I'll get to my Washington beats Dallas if, my keys to the game. Mike Jones will join us at 7:30. Kendall Fuller. Scheduled to be with us at 8:40 this morning. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com, and now on the radio.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.